Now, will you notice verse 5? And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Now, God says, they're coming down. I'm going to bring them down. Judah also shall fall with them. He doesn't say at the same time, but he says Judah finally will be brought down. And both of these kingdoms were carried away into captivity and at different times separated by about a century. Northern kingdom went to Assyria, southern kingdom taken to Babylon. And from that, there has never been the return that the Word of God speaks about, as we've attempted to indicate. And this book, I think, makes that abundantly clear, that when God brings them back, the world's going to know it, and there'll be peace in the land then. Now, will you notice, he says also, verse 6, they shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. In other words, they have deserted God, and when trouble comes upon them, and they've tried every other resource, God is the last resource they've come to, why, they won't find him. He's withdrawn himself from them. It's like years ago, the story is told, it's a whimsical little story, that a ship was crossing the Atlantic and hit an iceberg, and this might have been the Titanic, I don't know, and the captain sent out the order all over the ship to prayers, to prayers. And one woman aboard the ship came rushing up to the captain. She says, Captain, has it come to this? In other words, if you're going to pray, it's the last resort. And that's the way a great many people treat God. He's sort of like the spare tire. We hope we don't have a flat, but if we do, we got a spare tire back there and we'll put it on. But we hope we don't have to do it. And that was the condition of these people. And that's the condition of a great many people actually today that are making a profession of Christ. He's sort of an emergency measure. He's like a life insurance policy. He's a spare tire that you put in the trunk of the car, hoping that you won't have to use it. He's like a fire extinguisher that you have around. These are things that you just hope you don't have to use, but they're there in case the emergency arises. Now he goes on here in verse 7. He says, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. That is, they're strange to God. They didn't bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. And God had taught these people. Go back and read Deuteronomy again. God says you're to teach this to your children. You're to put it on your doorpost. You're to teach them, even when you get in bed at night. You continue to teach them the Word of God. But he says, you've forgotten strange children. They don't know me. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. Blow ye the horn in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth-Aven, and Beth-Aven is Bethel. After thee, O Benjamin, and that part of the tribe of Benjamin apparently had gone over with the northern kingdom, and as a result, why, the warning is to go out all over the land, warning the people. Now, we come to verse 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. In other words, it wasn't for the fact God had not warned them. He had warned them, and he had rebuked them, and they still would not hear. Verse 10, the princes of Judah were like those who remove the boundaries. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. In other words, the southern kingdom had attempted to apparently move its boundaries far north as it possibly could. There apparently was always a real division caused by the fact they could not agree on just where the boundary was. And God has a message from Hosea even to the southern kingdom, but he primarily was the prophet to the northern kingdom.